it's that time of year again. While we won't be strolling on Hollywood Boulevard, we will be strolling along West Street and Main Street in Annapolis for the 12th Annual Annapolis Film Festival. From April 4th through the 7th, you can enjoy more than 70 films, Q&A sessions with filmmakers, panels, coffee chats, and yes, plenty of parties as well. Tickets and passes are on sale right now at AnnapolisFilmFestival.org. But right now, we're going to give you a taste of things to come as we chat with the movers, the shakers, directors, and producers for the 12th Annual Annapolis Film Festival. That's why she tried to be so hard. Well, I'll tell you, at the Annapolis Film Festival, you're going to see all sorts of films. You're going to see great ones. You're going to see happy ones. You're going to see sad ones. And, you know, you might even see a few dogs. But one you don't want to miss is called Unbroken, and it is a powerful, powerful documentary which will be shown as part of the Jewish Experience on Sunday morning at St. John's College. And joining us today is Beth Lane, who is the director who just got off a flight from L.A., I understand, in Baltimore, and I'm hoping she's here for the film festival and not just playing Oprah and getting crab cakes.
I am absolutely here for the film festival. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to talk to you, but we need to talk about Unbroken. And
Great. It
is the story of seven siblings, ages 6 to 18. And I want you to sort of expand on this, but they evaded capture and death and ultimately escaped Nazi Germany following their mom's incarceration and murder at Auschwitz, took their father's mandate to always stay together, and somehow escaped to a new life here in America. And that's sort of the Cliff Notes version.
Yes, yes. Those are the Cliff Notes for sure.
Fill in the blanks here.
Well, I could tell you that this story is that our family is the only family of seven Jewish siblings known to have survived together and then emigrated together. And it's so significant that their photograph actually hangs in the last gallery of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And we discovered this in 1994 when my uncle Alphonse was touring the museum when it opened. He was from Maryland. I mean, he's from Germany and then emigrated to Chicago, but his professional career was in Maryland, and he decided, okay, let me go and tour the museum. And he came face to face with a photograph of himself. So that really began the process, I think, for him and for the family to start to walk back into their history. My family's story is unique in that it's the seven of them who survived and emigrated together, but it's not unique amongst other Holocaust survivors in that during the most horrific time in human history of a systemic genocide, that this happened to so many, many, many families. And everybody deals with their trauma in a different way. My family's way of dealing with their trauma was to move forward and not think about it. It wasn't that they avoided the past. They certainly acknowledged the past, but they just moved forward. They did not wear their hearts on their sleeves. They did not call themselves Holocaust survivors or refugees. It wasn't how they found the best way for them to heal. So this opportunity at the Holocaust Museum, when my uncle Alphonse saw this photograph and he started to walk back into his own history, I think was really a turning point for all of us in understanding who we were and where we came from.
And I just want to be very clear to those that are listening that haven't picked up on this, that Beth has said, my family, my uncle, and you are the grandchild of one of those seven siblings, correct?
Actually, no, I'm the daughter.
Oh.
Yes, I am the daughter of the youngest sibling. I'm the granddaughter of Lena Bonda Weber, their birth mother. And I say birth mother because my mom was adopted, but Lena was my birth grandmother, and she was an extraordinary woman who would secure passports and visas to help other people get out of Germany. She didn't do it for her own family, but she did it for many other people. She worked for the underground and the resistance, and she was caught, deported, and murdered at Auschwitz on December 1st, 1943.
Wow. This is so powerful. And again, I want to remind everybody that it's showing at St. John's College on Sunday at 10 a.m. after some bagels and lox at the Jewish Experience. It's not too late to get your tickets and passes for the festival. It does open tonight. You want to go to AnnapolisFilmFestival.org, and you can pick that up. I've got a question for you. The film's title, you've styled it Unbroken, with un as capital U, little n, capital B, broken. Is there a reason on that styling?
There is, actually. Thanks for picking up on that. Our family story, there are so many fractures in it. There are fractures of memory. There are fractures of stories. There are fractures of relationships, fractures of homeland, fractures of legacy. And so it's very easy for us to actually feel broken. But the family actually is not broken. And so I think that I'm a very visual person. I suppose that's why I'm a filmmaker. But I felt like we needed to see the word broken by itself, but then to also understand that we are not broken. And so I liked capitalizing the B for unbroken.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That works. You know, and yeah. Normally, you know, I might ask you or ask another filmmaker, you know, what's the impetus behind the film? But I think that's kind of obvious because this is very personal to you. And, mm-hmm. you know, when did you realize in your career that you had to make this film?
Oh, that's a great question. There was a watershed moment that happened in 2017. I was originally supposed to go back to Germany with my uncle Alphonse to see it through his eyes. And unfortunately, that trip never happened. So in 2017, my mother decided that she wanted to go back to see her place of rescue, her place of hiding. And my sister and I accompanied her, and my dad also accompanied us. We met with the town historians who were significant in the research that my uncle Alphonse had been doing up until his death. And the town historians are these remarkable people who had a surprise for us. And they invited the grandson of the farmers who hid my mom and her siblings to come and meet us. And it was in that moment that I realized this is so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than us. It's just, how do you thank the people who saved your mother's life? And not just her life, but all the siblings. Like, how do you thank all the people along the way who enabled them to survive? Because there were many, many, many people along the way that actually helped them survive. And it just kind of came crashing down in like a giant brainstorm download of, all right, there, I never felt it was my story to tell. It was my mom's or my aunts or my uncles. But it was in that moment that I said, if this doesn't get told now, it will never get told. And I literally committed in that moment. And here it is 6.5 years later. And we have a movie.
Well, I thank God for that. You know, that you had the moment there. You know, I was looking at your Vimeo channel, and there are a whole bunch of little 60-second shorts for a film called mm-hmm. Will You Hide Us, which I'm presuming is the original name of the film before you realized what it was going to be called, Unbroken.
Yes, the original title was Would You Hide Me?
Oh, and I screwed that up.
No, that's okay. It was called Would You Hide Me? And it was, we created all these little 60-second docs, I like to call them, because we had so, as you know, most documentary filmmakers know, you have hundreds of hours of footage and you have to winnow it down to, what, 90 minutes? So what do we do with all this extra footage? It's so great. We love it. And so we started to create these little 60-second docs. And they all live on YouTube and Vimeo. But they're all on YouTube. They're all on our website.
There you go. Well, what roadblocks did you run into making the film? I'm going to imagine there were probably some personal ones. And actually, I'll go back into your, you know, the one short that I noticed on the Vimeo channel where you were running from, you're running toward the camera in different locations in Germany. Uh-huh. And you got to, I think it was Dachau, and you were like, yeah, mm-hmm. not going there.
Mm-hmm.
This had to be very difficult personally for you to make this film, I would think.
You know, that's a very good question. I think that we all handle trauma in different ways. And I've never thought of myself as somebody who has ever experienced trauma. I've never thought of myself as someone who even has intergenerational transfer of trauma. But now that I'm on the other side of making the movie, clearly it's something that was in my bones and in my DNA that I had to work through and sort out. And I think making the movie has been extremely therapeutic and productive in that way. You know, I had been to Dachau once in my college years. And then, of course, I went to visit Auschwitz in 2017, that same summer that Mom and I went back to her place of rescue. So the reason that you see that clip and we're going to Dachau and I decided to turn around and not go, I think speaks to the kind of movie that I have decided to make. And the movie that Unbroken is not what you think it is. It's not the typical I don't like to say typical, there is no typical, but it is not the kind of Holocaust film that you might be expecting to see. It is a film that does not rehash atrocities. Of course, we do cover ground that is hard to listen to or see or understand. But it's all told through the lens of courage and bravery and hope. The day that we were at Dachau was just where we had been in our filming process. We had so much. And I knew that even if we filmed at Dachau, we wouldn't use the footage. And I said to myself, why should I put myself through this right now if I know we're not going to use this footage? That doesn't make any sense. I was much more invested in trying to spend time in the country of Germany and getting to understand how something so horrible could happen in such a gorgeous and beautiful place, because Germany is a beautiful country. And the people that I have met through all my travels in Germany have been nothing other than kind and wonderful.
That's
and
fair.
And so I think that it's, and nobody understands reparations better than the country of Germany.
True.
At least now. It took them a while, but now. And so I just needed to not walk down that path of Dachau. And I'm not sure I ever need to go to another concentration camp again. It's just something that I think is so personal for all of us. And it is so difficult to understand how it could even possibly happen. Very difficult to wrap your head around.
You know, it really is. And I know that you mentioned, we'll get a little bit off topic, but you did mention the U.S. Holocaust Museum in D.C. and mm-hmm. your uncle's photograph there. And you know, I will say that that is one of very few places that I've been mm-hmm. that elicit a very physical reaction when I go to it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the exhibits that are in there, there's times where I felt that my chest was constricting and I was short of breath. That is an incredible, powerful exhibit. And if, you know, we're lucky that we're here in D.C., for those that have not been to it, I highly recommend it. It's not a big upper, I will say that, but it is something that we do need to recognize and learn from as well.
I agree with you. I mean, although I have fashioned my film in a way that is very specific to literally give people the opportunity to exercise their muscles of empathy and compassion through the lens of hope. You know, the reverse shot of all of that is the Holocaust Museum, which is substantial and important. And I would like to think that every educational institution in the country, if not the world, has field trips for their students to go to a Holocaust museum to really understand what happened in humankind during the 1930s and 40s.
True. Well, I will say that you're here in Annapolis and you're going to be at the film, which again is 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Will you be hosting a Q&A after the film? I mean, because I imagine there's a zillion questions and...
Yes, I have to tell you, Annapolis, man... Derek, they have invited me to come, and they really have rolled out the red carpet. They've created this beautiful, wonderful experience. I think Coffee and Bagel starts at 8:30 in the morning, and then I think we're screening our film at 10. There will be a Q&A after Unbroken. And then I believe there's also another short film that has to do with combating bigotry and hate right after our film, with a Q&A with that filmmaker as well. So I'm really, really excited for the event. And I'm so thrilled to be here in Annapolis for the whole festival. And I can't wait for Sunday. I really hope to see everybody there.
You know, it's funny. You talked about the film that's following you, which is They Will Not Replace Us, or You Will Not Replace Us. We talked with Josh Green, who did that. Actually, he won they do a shorts challenge where they give them a production package worth about $40,000 to produce a short that he pitched last year. So he produced it this year, and now it's showing here. When I put up my interview, and it did go up to YouTube flagged it for hate speech and removed it off. And I'm like, oh, come on. So I mean, I appealed it. It came to, they reversed the appeal probably in about an hour, but I was like, I was like, come on, are you kidding me?
You know what's going on,
we're being run by algorithms, I guess, but
it's true, I know, but still, it's so disappointing. Like, it's just not a good use of your time to have to be going on there to contest it.
True.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
True. Well, that's, it is what it is. But hey, Beth, do you have any other projects in the works?
Oh my gosh. I mean,
is that a stupid question?
No. It's not a stupid question. I mean, I probably should be able, I wish I could say I'm rattling off like five other films that I'm doing right now. And, I am an actress, so I should be appearing in this and appearing in that. But my focus has been solely on this movie right now, especially for my directorial debut. I haven't been able to manage anything else other than Unbroken at this time. However, we have designs for a museum exhibition that would be a companion piece to the film. And we also have designs for a book that would really give people a very interactive opportunity to really understand the process of the research that we did and to put a human face on all of this. So that's where the focus is right now. Hopefully in coming months, I'll be able to let you know what else I'm working on.
That's exciting. And I think that's needed. Yeah. I think, you put a face with it and it's not just a 96 minutes on a big screen. Beth Lane, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning. I recommend everybody get out and see Unbroken on Sunday morning at the Annapolis Film Festival. This is a film that you're going to be talking about. And that's what I love about film festivals. After the film is done, you sit there and you talk with the person sitting next to you. You talk, wow, what did you think about this? And what do you think they meant with that? And you don't do that in a regular theater. I mean, I eat my milk duds and leave. And that's the beauty of a film festival, certainly anywhere or here in Annapolis. But Beth, I mean, thank you so much. This episode is going to release a little bit after noon on April 4th, so there is still time to get tickets. The red carpet festivities all begin tonight at about 6:30. You can get your passes and tickets, and I do recommend passes are the easy way to go, but AnnapolisFilmFestival.org. There are 70-plus films showing all over town all weekend. And Beth, I will hunt you down and meet you.
Great. I would love that. Please, we need a photo op.
If it is not this evening, it will certainly be on Sunday. Again, Unbroken, Sunday at 10 a.m. But come early for the bagels and the lox. That gets underway at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday. It's a perfect way to, I guess, depending on whether you start your weeks on Sunday or end them on Sunday, it's the perfect way to start a Sunday anyhow.
That's wonderful.
But Beth, thank you so much and welcome to Annapolis. Enjoy our town and the festival.
Thank you so much, John. It's great to meet you.
And remember, passes and tickets for the Annapolis Film Festival are available right now at AnnapolisFilmFestival.org. I've got mine, you get yours, and I'll see you at the movies. It doesn't matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house and on every street.